Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Go!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
Gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're here to break everything down in regards to the Liguilla. We're in the playoffs and we're looking ahead into the quarterfinals. And joining me today, as always, is my co-host from Brooklyn. It is none other than Mr. AJ himself, a.k.a. Young Arnie. How are we, my friend?
Doing good. Did some exercise today, as always. So, you know, got to keep the grind going. Never stops. And I'm here, ready to talk everything Club America.
Definitely. We're going to jump into what is going to be an interesting, you know, latter half of the podcast as we do have Pachuca now. We're going to recap a little bit of that Portland game and some of the good things we saw in that matchup. And another CONCACAF moment that we got in what maybe wasn't a penalty, AJ. We'll discuss about that a little bit more and everything in between. And joining us again, once again, it is someone who we should at least now just embed into the podcast intro, AJ. Am I right? It is none other than Mr. Brian himself. Brian, how are you, my friend?
Doing pretty good, especially after that Conca Champions We Survived moment. So,
it was scary, right? And yeah. I mean, we're talking about that. We might as well jump into that. You know, we came into this game against Portland knowing that it was going to be a huge matchup, knowing that we had to go in there and take care of business. And all of a sudden, you know, things were looking promising for America, right? You get your goal, Binhas gets the header in, you're continuously attacking, you get that second goal. But then, you know, you get CONCACAF in that moment and then you concede through that penalty. And at that point, what did you have going through your head, Brian?
When
Portland scores. Yeah.
Yeah. So Stolpak felt pretty confident. Didn't like the setup, though. That had the recipe for, you know, what we're used to seeing in this tournament, which is just total swing of momentum. But for some reason, there was enough quality throughout that game where I started to feel like America can really, you know, see this one through, and eventually they did. But I was feeling more confident than I would have been previously.
No, yeah, I completely agree with you. AJ, how are you feeling going into this game, knowing that we were 2-0 up, then Portland gets that, you know, dubious PK, and then, of course, converts it. How did you feel at that point, 2-1?
I was still fine, but it was the point that, you know, it's CONCACAF. Anything can happen. So this was a game where, you know, Portland kind of had some momentum after getting that PK, and it's like they can do something at this point in Woke America, where it's like, don't let your guard down. We got a lead in this series, but at any given point, Portland could just score another goal and tie up. Example, like the LAFC game, we were winning. Carlos Vela happened to score 2 goals in the span of a minute. It's just like, yeah, the series is tied up. What are we going to do? Thankfully, America responded and were on high alert throughout that entire game, especially 6 minutes later. They also scored a goal. And from that point, it's like, okay, I think we got it now. We're good.
Yeah. No, yeah, I completely agree with you on that aspect. And I think, Brian, we talked a little bit on halftime through DMs, and, you know, we were up by one only at that point. But I think the message was clear. What me and you said was we have to go out there and score more goals, right? We can't get comfortable with this kind of 1-0 advantage. And AJ, said that I mentioned to you under Solari's era, we haven't really seen an America side really, you know, take a 2-3-4 goal lead really under his tenure. And I said that has to kind of be the difference maker in this game, because against this Portland side, yes, maybe you have a lot going for you, especially being at home and the altitude and whatever, but you still can't discount them, right? They have players that have played in types of games like this, and players that want to go up against America. And so we knew that, you know, you had to go out there and take care of business. And then, you know, you saw that, you know, we got a penalty. Vinicius converts it. It was a little bit scary. I didn't think he was going to put it behind the goalkeeper, but, you know, it goes in, and after it goes in, no one really, you know, questions that aspect. But like, I did like the response of America. After conceding the goal, it was like, okay, we're still not going to let off the gas pedal here. We're not going to kind of throw, you know, the bus behind us either. And, you know, Leo Suarez came out and had a pretty good game. I don't know what you gentlemen thought about Leo Suarez, but I think this has maybe been his best game since the Atlético San Luis game, you know, and that's a long time to go with having a good game. But, you know, he gets his goal and América kind of secured the game at that point. 3-1, you're thinking, job pretty much done here. Just, you know, keep it tight at the back. América did so. And, you know, they walk out of the Estadio Azteca with a 3-1 victory over Portland. And I think all you can really say is, you know, hats off to Solari for, you know, understanding how this game had to go and play out. And I think the moves he made as well throughout the game definitely benefited América.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I agree totally.
Yeah, not that bad. Especially for Leo Suarez, this is one of the games where I just felt like this is one of the better games he's had all season. And the last time in a CONCACAF match, he happened to score in a quarterfinal. That was against Atlanta United last year. So just to see moments like that again, it's just like, you know, Leo Suarez needed this goal because at this point, everyone's just wondering, why is he still in the club? It's like that same situation where it's like, we don't have any right midfielders, but we put him in because there's no other choice. But at the same time, América Nice was always like, why are we having every single line? It's like the Chucho Lopez situation. No matter what lineup you put, you still see him in there, and it's why. And then with that goal and the performance that Leo Suarez has in the Italian mid-war, this is why we got from Villarreal in the first place. And at this point, you know, he needed that goal. It gave him confidence to say that I'm here to stay, and to realize that you could trust me putting me in that starting 11. So that's what I'd like to see from Leo Suarez. And from Solari, great job on him with the substitutions he did throughout the entire game. I feel like he had it under control from the very minute. Despite the controversial penalty, he didn't let that distract from getting the job done at the end.
No, definitely. I agree with you. Brian, I use FootMob. And they gave Leo Suarez an 8.9 rating. Is that fair? Yeah.
It was Joppa score, granted. I don't always agree with them, but they had him in a 7.7. I think we could agree an 8 would be solid.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair, right? 8.9. I was like, well, I don't know what game you guys were watching.
Yeah, that would be a total domination. Still lost the ball a little bit, but he needed a game like that. Again, does this secure things in the future? You don't know. You just need to have quality like that. That's the one thing that has to separate you from the opponents, especially in CONCACAF Champions. Is that depth? Can you call on somebody to, hey, you've been a little quiet, so you need to turn that, you know, turn the volume up. And that's what he did. And, you know, hindsight 2020, he got that goal. And then you look back, because you know there was a lot of complaints about the one that was called in favor of América. And there people were like, we're getting conquering after, like, hold on a second. Have you been watching the whole tournament?
Exactly.
You're watching the whole thing? And you got one? And then what happened? They got one. So it was
right after.
You're like, this stinks right now. This is really hurting. But that third one, you're okay. See, now you can't even rely on that. You put the game away. Beautiful game. And I was happy for the most part. That's the type of result. I predicted a 1-0. I went, you know, a bit conservative on it, but I knew that was possible. I knew they could put goals away. And thankfully they did. And that's going to just motivate them going forward.
Yeah. And I think this game overall was really important for América, not because you just, you know, secure yourself in a semifinal spot in the CONCACAF Champions League. Obviously that's kind of a no brainer, but the one thing that hurt América last season, I think, was not having kind of this midweek game and not having momentum to carry into the Liguilla, right? Now you have this Portland game to kind of track you, and you have players like Leo Suarez, who got minutes under their belt, got a goal, and now maybe it's going to be a little bit on a high. So when you go up against Pachuca this Thursday, there's something to kind of go there and be like, all right, we played last week. It hasn't been like we haven't played for 2 weeks. We played last week. We had some game under, some game minutes, and we did a good job. We won 3-1. We're on a high. And, you know, I just think that's exactly what América needed to bolster them just even further. Because like we mentioned time and time again, with this Liguilla structure, it's always momentum is the defining factor sometimes in how far you can make it into this playoff.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll have to wait to see. But I think América is in a poised position now after that result against Portland to then, you know, go on and succeed in the Liguilla. So, of course, you know, match ends. América gets a 3-1 result, looking good on all aspects. And we already knew at that point that, you know, Philly was going to be the team that we were going to face. So now, gentlemen, how do you guys feel about going up against Philadelphia Union, the last MLS team standing?
Interesting to say the least, because, I mean, the only memory I have of Philadelphia Union, they knocked my Rebels out. That was like 2 years ago. So they had a Marco Fabian. They don't have him anymore. So it's like, okay, I'll have to see a familiar face on this team. But all in all, they've done very well. Despite being the only team that's standing in MLS left to represent them from their league, they've clashed with some of the teams in this tournament. They gave Saprissa an absolute whooping, which they show like that's a team to fear. And look what they did to Atlanta United. Just completely blew them out of the water. So this is the team I would not underestimate them, because their last couple of games and CONCACAF, if I'm not mistaken, they've had nine goals actually scored in just four games. So just looking at that, about two goals in every single match. So this is gonna be a challenge for the defense. While we are the best, we have one of the best defenses in the league, surprise this year, especially with our lineup. This could be a challenge for America's defense, given that challenge that they need to stay on their toes against this Philadelphia Union side.
Definitely. We got Weasel in the chat here saying it's Saprissa, the worst Saprissa in 20 years.
Oh, hey, yes, it is. It is. The injuries.
Job still got done.
The constant injuries they have to the players. Some controversial signings, like seeing Joan Venegas just leads Alajuelense, arguably their best striker that they had in a while. And they're just like, why? And then the change in management. Yeah, no, it's been very bad. For
As you guys Saprissa. Know, AJ studies a lot of Costa Rican football, if you guys haven't already gotten the hint there. But Brian, look, you know, how you feel about Philadelphia Union? And it's an odd thing, because we don't face them until August. So, you know, worlds apart, really. I mean, a lot can happen within that time span. I mean, you know, Chicago Fire saying they were top of the league last year too in MLS. And yes, they have had some traction going. But just as much as they've been going well, you know, they could get MLS, and, you know, at that point they could be sixth in the table at that point and maybe struggling. But they look like a constantly good side. How are you feeling about Philly?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like they were the better side in terms of putting the ball away, especially in the Atlanta meeting. So it's something to keep an eye on. But like you said, this is going to be a big gap until the next time you play. Form now is much, much different. It's a completely different scenario. And we get to see a different point of view from an MLS side. Before, it was, you know, not quite in rhythm, but not really focusing on midseason fatigue and injury. Now you get pushed to, yeah, that's going to be your big focus on pushing for an important part of your season. So it's like, what are they going to be able to do in that point of, you know, point in time? And then what is America going to look like heading into that? That's just such a big question mark. But if they were to play this Thursday or, you know, next week, I would feel confident, but you can't sleep on a team like that because they can put the ball away.
Definitely. And I think you mentioned something interesting right there. You know, they're going to be in the mix of their season. America is going to be barely starting theirs. So, I mean, questions about, you know, whether or not some of these players that played against Portland will be even featuring against, right, you know, Philly. That's going to be an interesting thing to factor in as well. But for the most part, America gets Philly into the semifinals. We'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there. And I think, you know, we all want to see America make it into the final. And whether or not we get Rayados or Cruz Azul, that's a whole different story. But either way, you got to play who's in front of you, right? That's all you can do. And so we'll have to see what America does. Weasel again in the chat saying, always fun listening, boys. Keep it up, America, to win it all. Make sure Memo gets to face Chelsea. That's if Chelsea gets past Manchester City. I was like, what? I don't know if Chelsea gets past City.
If America got to do what Monterrey and Tigre didn't do, that would be pretty special.
That would be really special. And I like our odds against Chelsea. I don't know. That's just
me. We'll see who joins on. You know, that's again, you have to win first, but
yeah, obviously, right? You know. Can't get ahead. You got to just focus on Philly first. And then if the glory road is down ahead with Chelsea, well, then the glory road is down ahead with Chelsea. But all right, gentlemen. That pretty much wraps up CCL for right now. Like we mentioned, big gap in between. And whenever that gap comes closing down,
we can breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
We can breathe a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we can't breathe too much yet, Brian, because we have playoffs now. We have Liga, and now the main focus, because like you mentioned, AJ, Santiago Baños' real focus has always been the league. The CONCACAF Champions League was just, you know, a little rec league that he wanted to kind of, you know, have his players just play in the meantime. We're going to talk Liga right now. We're going to talk all things Pachuca and get you guys caught up, ready for a game on Thursday and Sunday. But beforehand, AJ, we have a bit of Coapa news. But beforehand, I want to remind everyone that today's episode is brought to you guys by Foot Cult. If you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys go check out footcult.com. Use the discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off all Foot Cult products. And, of course, you guys can pre-order this amazing, beautiful jersey on your screen right now. Get 10% off. It is a beauty. We just dropped it 2 weeks ago. And it's definitely just, I don't know, AJ, how can you describe it?
Beautiful. I happen to own one of the Ochintas kits themselves, and just seeing this jersey as well just reminds me a lot of the kit. So just to see that I'll be wearing that soon enough and have the feel of the Ochintas, it's just beautiful.
Definitely. Talk about a throwback Thursday, if anything. So if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys go pre-order that or get anything else on the website and use the discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. Again, thank you to Foot Cult for sponsoring today's episode. All right, we got a question in the chat. Do we start Viñas or Henry on Thursday? Luis, great question. We'll get to it in just a second, but I want to talk a little bit about Coapa news because, of course, the schedule was brought out that we're going to be playing against Pachuca on Thursday and Sunday. Thursday's game is still the same, but Sunday's game has changed. So from Thursday, that was a 7 p.m. Pacific time kickoff, and that stays the same. On Sunday, it was going to be the same way around. No, excuse me. On Thursday, it's a 5 p.m. Pacific time kickoff. And then on Sunday, it was supposed to be a 7 p.m., but it got pushed back an hour. So now it's going to be a 6 p.m. kickoff time, Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. So those of you guys that were thinking, oh, I got an hour to get to the game beforehand, well, not really so much. The Liga MX, I don't know why they changed it, but they just did. Also, big news. AJ, we just mentioned it, and a lot has been confirmed already. 25% in the Estadio Azteca for this game on Sunday. Should be an interesting one. Will it get filled up? What are you thinking, AJ?
Man, I don't want to be even roasting my team right now at the same, but I feel like that feels almost like I mentioned in our group chat. That's like the same amount we usually fill at the Azteca, because now I think we can't even fill it up as much. But to see 25%, though, considering what Mexico City has gone through with COVID, considering it was an area that was really bad, I mean, it's for them. It's their turn now to test, see how it is. They will be putting the 6 feet rule for everyone to just social distance, have the mask on during the match. I mean, it's exciting to see. We'll finally get to see some football being played at the Azteca with fans. So I'm actually genuinely excited to see this. Especially, this is something for America. What a better way to start off the Liguilla. You're on. With having fans over there, well, when they go play at home. So it'd be nice for them. And it's great for the fans as well. They finally get to see Club America there on the biggest team in Mexico play at the biggest stadium in Mexico.
I would say the biggest stadium in our region, in CONCACAF. All right. Brian, how are you feeling? 25% of people in the Estadio Azteca?
It'll be interesting. Obviously, we've had a few examples of teams testing this ability to at least slowly introduce team players fans during the game. I think it can be successful. And I mean, that's still a nice chunk of people to witness the game. I think they could pull it off with few hiccups. So it's something exciting and you hope it does go smoothly. And I think there's that possibility. And again, changes the atmosphere. Now it's, you know, we're starting to feel like, you know, more than a year ago. So, a little bit of positivity. So, yeah. So hopefully it goes smoothly.
Look, I'm just happy that we're no longer going to be having that terrible Do the NF fans, like the virtual.
Oh,
fans.
I remember
on Fox, they were really weird again in the Portland game with the fan noise. They have fans in the stadium. I'd be like looking away, and you'd be like, "Whoa!" And I look back, and it's like the guy's at midfield. It's not even like a counter.
Yeah,
like, turn this thing off. Like we need to go back to like at least turn it off.
Yeah, I don't know. The day of the virtual fans hopefully is over.
Yeah.
For good. I couldn't stand those two then if virtual fans. It's terrible. I didn't even know what was going on in the stands.
Yeah.
Just like that the whole time. Like, are you even watching the game?
Was it recorded earlier?
Yeah. Just on loop the whole time. Like, we just conceded and you just see the fan going like, yeah.
But we've come a long way because we had the summer tournament that was like just a mini friendly thing, but we were excited. And now we're at the point where, you know, they're going to start introducing fans. So, you know, it's come a long way.
Yeah, it definitely has. And we thought that we'd never be here, to be honest. But, you know, hopefully things continue to get better. And, you know, hopefully that 25% goes up higher and higher. And we'll see. We'll definitely see. And last bit of news before we get carried away here with Ligia talk. Now, this is just a rumor. I don't know how strong this rumor is. I don't have Christian here to kind of fact check me as and see how much credibility this has. But rumors have been surfacing that Brian Ocampos is in the kind of eye of America in order to sign him. He does play on the wing. America is indeed in need direly of a right winger, and he looks like someone that Solari definitely wants. At least that is what the rumors are saying. Now, supposedly Nacional want about 8 million for him when he originally was only about 2 million. So there you go. There's the Club America tax that we all know and love at that point. But that is what we have at the moment. It looks like America is eyeing out for that Uruguayan right winger. I do hope we get him because he looks like a great player. Fits all the criteria that America is kind of going for, those kind of young gem talents that, you know, have a good future. And if he does come in, I think he could definitely do a pretty good job, but we'll have to wait and see. America is not going to pay anywhere near 8 million for someone like that, but I think you can negotiate the price down to about 3-4 million if possible. I mean, we did just get paid out for Silvio Romero. So we have a little bit of loose change right there. And we still are owed the Cecilia Dominguez fee, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So we still maybe have potentially more money to spend in the summer. But that is what we have at the moment. Just Ocampos is what is rumored. And we'll see what happens afterwards. AJ, any more news? Or do you think we got it all capped up here?
The only thing as well is the E-Liga MX did start today where we have two players. We don't have the most greatest FIFA player, that's Santiago Casas, representing us anymore because that dude is just back in Argentina. We did win our first game 3-1, I think it was, against Necaxa. So, hey, that's some good news from us.
Definitely. Definitely. We have Louis in the chat saying, what's up? And we have, I am rich. I can never say the last part because we're going to get banned here. But he's like, what's his FIFA 21 rating? His FIFA 21 rating is a 70 overall, but he has a potential of a 77. And if anyone knows the potential glitch on FIFA, you know, he can skyrocket way past 85. But yeah, looks like a pretty good young Uruguayan talent. And you know, I'm all for it. We'll see whether or not we do end up getting him. But that is all the news we have so far in regards to Cuapa. All right, gentlemen, let's talk Liguilla. Let's talk Pachuca. America will start off the Liguilla run in Hidalgo on Thursday. It's going to be a 5 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 o'clock Eastern kickoff game for us. Gentlemen, I was reading somewhere online that someone said that out of all the teams that America could have faced, Pachuca potentially was the toughest opponent that they could have gotten. What is your take on that, Brian?
I don't know if toughest, but definitely the way they've unfolded, especially with that last game we just saw. Mm-hmm. When they caught fire, they really caught fire. And that is concerning because in the first half, I didn't think they were overall that impressive. But I don't know if they would say the hardest team to play, but this is no pushover team. That doesn't mean like once that game starts, you know, form, everything in the past this season's out the window, you know? So they're looking good. That is one thing for sure. You know, the hardest, that's just hard to tell right now for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it is a team that has catched a little bit of fire. And we've said the one thing that's going to carry you in a Liguilla is momentum. Right. And I'm looking at Pachuca's last couple of games, 1, 2, 3, 4. The past four have all been victories. Like you mentioned, mm-hmm. Brian, it wasn't the best the first half against Chivas, right? They had to kind of turn it on in the second half, and Chivas kind of crumbled afterwards. And I think that's what helped the scoreline look what the scoreline looked at afterwards. Right. But, you know, I do think this is a difficult team. I mean, we know our history in Pachuca hasn't always been the best. Although in recent times, when we have faced them in Liguillas, things have looked favorable. I mean, I want to go back to a comment that Chicago Fire is saying right here, saying historically, them and Santos have had paternity in Liguilla over us. And if you take a, you know, overall broad history of that, yes, that's true, right? But I do think that America, regardless of who you were going to face, you have to go up against the best quote-unquote teams, and you have to beat them, right? If you want to crown yourself champions. And I do think that this is an interesting matchup. Like I mentioned, Pachuca at home in their stadium is a different team sometimes. And America's going to have to come out there and play smart. I don't think it would be a smart thing to do to come out and try to play for a draw and then kind of bank everything at the Estadio Azteca. I think you need to go out there and you need to play your game and try to get and secure a victory if possible. But away goals, really. That's the one thing that you really need to get out of here. But coming into this one, Brian, how are you feeling? How do you think America is coming into this one?
I feel pretty good, especially like we were talking earlier, to get a 3-1 win in CONCACAF Champions, have a little bit of a timeout. Like, that feels good. There will be some question marks in this game because they had some players, in my opinion, that played really good. As I posted, the heat map of Kevin Alvarez, who was all over the field, each end. And, like, he didn't stop the whole game. There could be opportunities there, for them to get a good counter with him and link up with a team who's in good form, like with Sosa and De La Rosa, who's now playing really, really well. So it could be really complicated for them, especially on the road. And like you're saying, you're going to need road goals for this.
No, I completely agree with you on that aspect. AJ, coming into this one, how are you feeling? How do you think America's looking?
They're looking good as well, but that's by no means necessary that just because Pachuca got into repechage, just like, no problem. Because remember what happened last time? We had a team for repechage come against us. That was Chivas. Yeah, that was scary. With Pachuca on the hand, they've been looking good. 11 goals in their past four games, and in their last two games, particularly against San Luis and Pachuca, against Chivas, 9 of those goals were scored. And the way they've been looking, like Brian mentioned, players like Ismael Sosa, Roberto De La Rosa, those guys are on fire. Kevin Alvarez, and then even Oscar Murillo, just what he did to Guadalajara, it felt like no one marked them. And mentioning about marking players, that's something that America has struggled with in the past when it comes off of set pieces. So letting a guy like that, if you let him get in the air, no one marks him, just like we did against Chivas, we could particularly get punished because of that. But going to this game, like, we're in good form. We defeated a Portland Timbers. We don't have to worry about the CONCACAF champs now until August. Now let's get ready for the big thing, which is the Liguilla. And the ultimate goal at the end of the day, we're trying to go win, get that 14th title. And for a team against Pachuca, that's going to be an interesting game for America to get themselves in. So all in all, I'm ready for it. I can't wait to see what these two teams are going to bring to each other on Thursday.
It's going to be a real test to Solari as well, right? His first Liguilla. And I mean, he's already kind of showcased that he can do some really good stuff with America. I mean, his first semester here, and look, you know, 38 points, looking really good. And obviously we all know it should have been 41, but you know, one wrong player can lead to 3 points. So we'll hopefully everyone's marked down properly in this one. Yeah. But I do think that, you know, what Brian mentioned is important to kind of take, is that I think Pachuca does have some very good individual talent, but I do think that they rely on it heavily. And I think that if America is able to shut down some of those avenues to get those players the ball, then I think then America can dominate the game how they want to. And I think that's the most important thing about this matchup, is that Solari comes into this one and says, okay, we're going to go into the Estadio Hidalgo and we're going to play our game. We're not going to let them come to us. We're going to take the game to them. We know that this is a team that wants to you know, play with the ball more. We want to have the ball. We want to move it around, and we want to dictate the tempo, right? Kind of like we did against Portland. We set, you know, we kind of set the tone of the match, and it's up to Pachuca to try to see if they can match that intensity, match that level. And I think that will be important for Solari and the players to do so. The only thing that does worry me is those aerial duel battles that you mentioned, AJ. I don't know if Bruno's at 100% yet, and we know that the set pieces have sometimes been our Achilles heels, the dead ball situation. So I think that's the one avenue that Pachuca is going to try to exploit, and we're going to have to wait and see. But if we can control the midfield, right, I don't think we run into too many risks. If you have a player like Pedro Aquino kind of holding it down, being the anchor of the team, and Richard Sanchez really exploding and being kind of more of a creative midfielder, and you know, not to even mention what Fidalgo most likely is going to be capable of doing, I think that America is in a really good position. Now I want to lead to the question that we had from Louis in the beginning is, do we start Viñas or Henry on Thursday? AJ, who are you going with?
I got myself Viñas going in this match. I just feel like just because the momentum he's carrying over from CONCA Champs and his good form that he's been having, I feel like by no doubt you have to start Federico Viñas. Yes, we know Henry and Lee, he did have it to get a goal against Pumas, but that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, he scored one goal, let's start him. No, you might as well not bench the player that has been going on a hot streak at the moment. So I go with Viñas over Henry in this case.
Interesting. Brian?
Yeah, I think I agree. We needed Viñas to get a goal against Portland, and he did. You can see that, you know, that rhythm he's feeling right now. I think you just got to keep it going, to be honest. That's just my personal opinion. He's got plenty of quality to do so. So I'd be perfectly fine with him in up front.
Definitely. And look, I think it's going to be a very physical battle in that box, you know, with whoever we put out there. And we know that Henry is capable of, you know, going toe-to-toe with any with any defender, right? He AJ calls him muscle man for a reason. But I think Viñas has a little bit of an added presence where he, I feel, gets to more of the aerial duels. He's able to win them more. If he's more, I don't think he's more kind of accurate with his finishing in the heading department. But I think that he could prove pivotal. And I mean, we saw what he did his first season against Tigres, right? I mean, yep. What a header in the comeback at the Estadio Volcán. So I agree with you guys. I think that Viñas should start, and I think we'll start. And with that said, I think let's go with this predicted lineup. I'm seeing Ochoa in it. I'm seeing George out wide, Luis Fuentes. In the middle, I think we see Sebastián Cáceres. A lot of people want to put Bruno Valdés there, but Emmanuel Aguilera seems to be ready. And I think he might put Emmanuel Aguilera. I think Emma Aguilera starts over Bruno. And then in the midfield, we have, like I mentioned, Pedro and Richard. In that cam spot, we have Fidalgo. In the wide, I think Mauro Linus on the left. And on the right, I think Leo Suarez plays. I think you just kind of, you know, try to see what he's capable of doing after that game against Portland. And up top, Viñas, Henry, and Cordoba should be featuring on the bench in that aspect. But in regards to that starting 11, gentlemen, how do you guys feel about that? Mainly the defense, Brian.
Well, that's going to be the most of the question marks America has. I think you're not far off. I think that could be the case. Being that Bruno, I don't know if he's still quite there yet. And in a game like this, you kind of have to have everybody who's in rhythm.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But again, then again, the question mark on Aguilera is how much in rhythm is he after being kind of out in injury and stuff like that? And is he ready to kind of take
the pitch? Like, that's the question mark is who's, I mean, I should say who's better suited right now. And it's, you know, that's going to be the almost like a, I wouldn't say game time decision, but kind of, you know, that's going to be the biggest weakness for America.
And then all of a sudden it's Jordan Silva and Ramon playing with a back three. AJ, how are you thinking about that starting 11? You liking it?
I'm liking just as Brian mentioned, just the questions which is all regarding defense. While yes, we have a solid defense in the league. I think we were tied, I think, for fourth it was or something, but it's just this is the same defense. We stuck with Pio and we complained about just saying, how do we have these four playing? same time, this is all that we have left. Do you really want Jordan Silva starting? I don't think so. Ramon Juarez, I mean, ever since he's been put back to Fuerza Basque, I haven't heard much since. You think he'd be ready for a DEN game like this? No, I don't think you'd want to put that either. This is for our left-back option, left-back and right-back option. There's not much to go with. Luis Suentes, you could put Escobosa there. The thing is, you're going to want to see Escobosa playing like a winger going out of position. You want someone like Fuentes who just stays back and knows what he has to do. Despite him lacking the pace, he knows what he has to do. But all in all, I mean, this the back four is what you're most likely going to expect. Like, the thing is, the toss between Bruno and Emma, who you're really going to have, was more prepared. I feel like in saying Emma's been the one that's been playing a majority of her games this season, you're going to have to go with them in this because of Bruno Valdez. If anything, you can put him in the second leg if you want. If you feel like either Emma or Casas are shaky, then so be it. But all in all, I like this back four. Can't really go wrong with it, considering that's what we have.
Definitely. I think, you know, they have to go out there, step up their game, and you really take it to them and say, look, this is the reason why we finished where we finished, and you guys finished where you guys finished, and well, we'll have to wait and see. But game plan, Brian, what do you think the game plan is going to be for America?
Well, kind of like we touched on earlier, you want to make it more comfortable for yourself in the next leg, and I think there's going to be a bit of an aggressive feel. Not too much, but I think they're going to try to dominate as much as they can in that midfield and really just, you know, impose their presence on Pachuca as much as they can and kind of take away that, you know, that rhythm that they're feeling right now. Because there is just a lot of quality with America, specifically in that midfield. So I think they're going to be more aggressive than, you know, some might think, because I think getting those goals early, it's going to set them up pretty good moving the next leg.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. AJ, if you had to pick out one player to stand out from this game for America that needs to kind of, you know, kind of be, quote unquote, the hero of the match, who you putting?
I want to go with Pedro Aquino, actually. It's just the midfield, knowing how Pachuca has just been hot on the counterattack. And when having a lot to say, I feel like Pedro Aquino is going to have to be the one to make sure that none of those attackers or midfielders are going to try to get Rom pass by him, if anything. I just like there are games where I feel like if we did not have Pedro Aquino just anchoring that midfield, being that center defensive mid that we need, I feel like a lot of midfielders would just be going right past by us. And then at that point, we just have to rely on defense and hope they can recover the ball, slide tight, whatever they got to do. So I think for Aquino in this case, he's going to definitely be the player for me to look out for on this upcoming match on Thursday.
I agree with you. I think he needs to be the anchor. And if he can kind of, you know, have the game that we all expect him to have, then I don't think Pachuca really gets too much things going in the counterattack. They'll have to be a little bit more creative in that aspect. But who knows? Maybe that's why Pedro Aquino got that new hairdo that, you know, Ochoa definitely did not like. Maybe it's to scare a couple of the Pachuca players off. So we'll have to wait to see. Brian, who's your kind of go-to man for this game?
I was a bit torn between Fidalgo and Leo. But if Leo is coming off a game where he looked, well, one rating system said 8.9 and one was 8, I want to see if he can carry that because we've all had kind of a bit of criticism where, yeah, he moves really quick on the ball, but the production's lacking. And the reason why I was going to say Fidalgo is he's kind of had that too, where it's a lot of, you know, growth with the control, with his own tempo in the game and change of direction. I think he's done really well, but he still hasn't gotten, you know, one of those games where you're like, well, he, you know, that was it. That was the MVP, but he's been, you know, good. He's been a great addition, but but like we were saying, it's going to have to be Leo because to have that game he just had, can he do it again? And this would be his opportunity.
I agree with you. I think that Leo has to have a huge game. And I'm going to go with Fidalgo now that you mentioned him. I think that if he can step up and be kind of that talisman that everyone wants him to be, right? Because you come from Spain, you always kind of have that little bit of added pressure. Like, oh, you're from Europe. So, you know, you should kind of, you know, be that one player, right? So, I think you're right, Brian. There are some comparisons that we can draw between Leo and Fidalgo, but the difference is that one just arrived to the league. The other one's had well over a year in the team. right? So one should definitely be carrying more weight than the other. But if both of them could do a pretty good job and we have a really good synced midfield, then I don't see how we can't go wrong in that. I do want to make sure that America takes their chances, right? I feel like we just don't. And that's the one thing that's been frustrating me all season long is that this America side, there was games where we could have won easily 3-0, but we ended up winning 1-0. And we put ourselves kind of in that kind of squeaky bum time situation at the end when it was just like, well, are we going to draw this game because we didn't take our chances earlier in the game? Right. So I think that America needs to be as clinical as possible. And I think you're right. Having someone that's a little bit on a hot streak like Nunez and maybe bringing on a Henry who's trying to get back on that streak could be kind of beneficial for America. But look, I'm saying is make the chances, but take them, finish them, you know, because then that's also how you avoid Pachuca from getting you on a counter is if you finish all your chances. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But prediction for the first leg, gentlemen. Brian, I'll give it to you first.
Well, I think it's going to be a pretty tough one. I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1. Okay. All right. Okay. AJ?
I'll go 2-1 in this one. Add another 2-1. Goal. This time for America.
2-1 for America. Okay. I like it. I like it. I'm going to be as optimistic as I can be on this, and I'm going to go with a 1-0 victory. A clean sheet, an away goal. Like, what more could you ask for, right? Well, more away goals, but I'm just going to go with that. 1-0. America takes it to the Azteca. And then I think from there on, you kind of have to do your game, right? So in the second leg, what's the most important thing that you guys think America needs to do in order to close this game out? Right? Whether it's a 1-1, 2-1, 1-0, whatever the result may be, what's the one thing that America needs to do in the second half? The second leg in order to kind of, you know, secure their ticket into the next round?
I'm going to say do pretty much what you did with the Portland game, because to me, it came off like they were the ones that needed, you know, to make up a deficit. And that's kind of how it felt, in my opinion. So no matter really what happens in this first leg, you know, that's, you know, comforting right after the game. But once that second one starts, it's the mentality of really going after it and kind of feeling like you're the one, you know, that needs to make up for something. It just in my opinion, that they have to be, you know, they have to have that hunger to overcome, you know, anything that game throws at them.
Definitely. Definitely. AJ, I'll ask for your opinion right now, but we have a couple predictions. Chicago Fire saying 1-0 to America in Hidalgo. And then Louis going with a 1-1 draw, then a 2-1 victory in the Estadio Azteca. Interesting. Interesting. But kind of any more added thoughts in that, AJ? I know this is a hard thing to do, these second leg predictions and all this stuff, because we haven't seen the game on Thursday, right? And it all depends on that. But what do you think America needs to come in and do at the Estadio Azteca against Pachuca?
It's just, they'll have to just build up on their play from wherever they're, whatever they happen to do in that first game, continue building up in that second game. Whether if you're down a goal, you're up by a goal, a series is tied up, whatever that case may be, just continue bringing the game towards the opposition. At that point, you know, at that second life, it's life or death at that point. You think you're going to move on to the next round, or you're going to be sent packing home, and that's not what you don't want. So at this point, America, just like what Brian said to Portland, just continue adding on to it, adding the momentum, whatever that we got going at this point. It's important. This second leg, it's everything at this point. Just want to see America do what they do best, and that's just getting wins and just moving on to the next round. I just like to see what else I can do. Especially it's gonna be his first game of the year. Well, the first game, so the second leg he's gonna have a feeling, okay, this is what the Liga is like. Now do my homework and know what I got to do in order to improve in the second leg.
Yeah, and Slotty, I mean, it's hard to not accept the fact that he's a very smart man when it comes to this sport, right? He understands, he's adapted himself very well into this league already. I think he kind of gets an understanding of where his team's best capable of succeeding and where his weakest links are. And I think that, you know, he's had, 18 games now? 17 actually in the league to get it all kind of sorted out. And I think he's looking at it and saying, okay, I think I know how to prepare myself for this, and we'll have to wait and see. One thing I do want to see is, like you guys mentioned, obviously build off of what you have, but kind of build off the crowd as well. I mean, you're going to have fans at home for the first time. Undeniably that you are going to be the team that's going to have the most fans out there in your own home stadium. So use that to your advantage, right? Give them a show, give them something worthwhile and advance into the next round and hopefully you have them again in the semifinals. So we'll have to wait and see. Again, these things are the hardest thing to predict because, of course, you know, the first leg is so detrimental. Because what if America blows, you know, the lead? I mean, blows Pachuca out of the water and says, you know what, we're winning 5-0 in Hidalgo. And then you come to Saseca and you're like, well, I guess you can just kind of park the bus if you want. But, you know, I just want to see an America side that is consistent, right? It's the one where we've always wanted to see is an America that's consistent. And slowly but surely, we've seen that. Maybe we don't get a full 90 minutes consistency, but we get a good, you know, 60 minutes at times, sometimes less, sometimes right. Only one half. But I do think that's the one thing we want to avoid, a tale of two halves for this one, and just be as consistent as possible. So, gentlemen, if you had to put it all on the line, are we betting the house or are you betting the toilet, AJ, for this game against Pachuca? What is your second leg prediction?
My second leg prediction, the score? I'll go 2-0. At home in this one, and let's bet the house. Sure, I'm all in it for betting the house.
All right, we are betting the house in the Liguilla, and let's hope we have a house to come back to in the semifinals. Then, Brian, what is your prediction for the second leg?
Well, I what you said. I think actually having fans is going to be such a different feel. Whether it's a 1-0 or a 1-1, I think they will be able to turn things around. I think they could pull off a 3-1.
A 3-1. I like it. I like a 3-1. I am going to go with a 2-0. Kind of like AJ said. I'm going with a 2-0. Again, this is a team where I wish I could give the 3-0 prediction. I wish I could give the 4-0 prediction like I, you know, very widely do sometimes. But he's just under Solari. I haven't really seen that. And even though we finished as the best offensive team in the league, if you can believe that or not, we finished as the best offensive team in the league.
I feel like it.
I don't know. But we know that this team can score goals. It's just a matter of, you know, refining your finishing, and hopefully they have that for the Liguilla. Hopefully all those chances they missed was because they were reserving them for the Liguilla. Sure, is what I'm trying to, you know, tell myself week in and week out. So we'll have to wait and see, but I mean, let's see what happens here. Our beloved Cowboys saying 2-1 in the second leg.
We're getting
four. I don't know.
We're getting a lot of predictions that's saying two goals. I think there should also be some kind of clause in somebody's contract that says you score three, you get a bonus two. And at that point, he's like, okay, maybe he could give him all the requirements so I could do all his three. That's just not me. No. If there's money involved in it, when he gets more on his payday, he's like, okay, maybe I'll move it. The player's like, get me three goals, please. It's for a reason. Thank you.
That'd be a nice clause to add if they ever do end up renewing Solari's contract. We have a Don Chingon 2 going with a 1-1. I don't know what his first prediction was, but hopefully it means that America advances. But still, it looks like an interesting matchup. Again, all these games live via TUDN. Like I mentioned, Sunday, again, games have been changed back to 6:05 p.m. Pacific time, 8:05 Central, 9:05 Eastern time. And you guys can catch all of that on our Twitter as well, as we'll be keeping you guys minute by minute on Thursday and Sunday at Eagle Eye Podcast. You guys can go check that out. Brian, where can they find you on Twitter so they can check out all the cool video clips that you're going to be posting?
I hope there's enough to post, but at Brian Carnicero. On Twitter, and then, you know, obviously, as you guys know, Foot Cult, so follow Foot Cult on Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, you can find me there. Hopefully there's something to post, or maybe something funny.
Definitely something always happens. Brian's always got you covered with a great replay. I promise you guys on that aspect. I mean, they did much better with the cameraman. Remember, Brian, when we used to have to put the cameraman on blast?
Yeah. That and a lot of replays in the middle of a play, and I don't know what is going on. I don't know who gives the green light to that, but that one is that's atrocious.
It is. Or the aquí y ahora, like the Primer Impacto stuff.
Yeah,
I'm just like, no.
The screen is like this.
You're like, Like, why do both screens have to be tiny? I don't get. That's the one thing I don't get. Like, Primer Impacto doesn't take up the full screen. It's like a little small one, too. And then exactly. The game's been reduced to a small screen as well. This is just a big gap of space of nothing. I mean, at least have an ad or something.
Right.
But no, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. But we have a comment for Brian here. Quickest gifts equals Brian got you. Yes, he definitely does. Freddy Duran going with a 3-1 victory for America. And look, all we can hope for is that America gets the job done, moves on into the semis, and maybe kind of, you know, gets that feeling or kind of makes us forget about Ligia's past of last season under Miguel Herrera. And, you know, hopefully under the Solari tenure, we have something to celebrate about. But hey, again, all of that comes down to Thursday and Sunday. Gentlemen, anything else to add on before we kind of wrap it all up here?
No, I'm just ready for some Ligia.
Ready for some Ligia. The Ligia madness back. And America's in it. And hopefully we can win it. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But all right. Thank you to every single one of you guys that were out here. That does it for us. We'll be back next week to talk things all America aspect. We won't be here on Thursday because America's going to be playing. But hey, AJ, maybe they can catch us on Friday to talk and recap all things Lady Aguilas and how painful this season was. But hey, we'll talk more about that later on in the week. All right, then. You guys have a wonderful time. Stay safe out there. Again, follow us all on Twitter, Footcalled, EY Podcast, Brian, AJ. Heck, if you want to follow me, do it. I don't even post that much, but when I do, it's mostly something random. Alrighty then, you guys have a wonderful time. You guys take care, be safe, wear your masks, and as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.